1, 2, 1, 2.
We are recording.
Yeah, okay. Watching that microphone now. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a great pleasure and honour to be with you this morning. Thanks to my dear friend Craig and his wonderful wife Lynn and their beautiful family for inviting us up. They are a fantastic couple, and I must admit I would love to have them in Chepstow, so you're really privileged to have them here. Also to Pastor Andrew and his wife Linda this morning, it's a pleasure to share this pulpit with a mighty man of God and woman of God. And as a congregation, we're praying for you, and we know that God has got our times in his hand. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning, that he asked Philip, what am I going to do, already knowing what he was going to do? God already knows what he's going to do. He already knows what he's going to do with Brexit, with everything that's going on in our lives, guys. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and with everything, politically, financially, he knows exactly what's going on. And you know something? He chose us knowing exactly who we were. It's not a case that God chose us and then he's shocked with how we've behaved since we've gotten saved. God knows everything about us. Good morning, children. All right? It's the future of the church. If there's no crying, the church is dying. That's one if you like Twitter. I came off of Twitter a few years ago, it got too much, but that's one for Twitter. If there's no crying, the church is dying. I don't know how much truth in that, but you know what I mean. But it is a great privilege to be with you this morning, and a big hello from everyone down in Chepstow. We're all part of one church, baptised through one spirit. And it was a great day yesterday at the Apologetics Conference. It was great to see some people we didn't know, and Craig shared on the subject of suffering and God's goodness, and he did very well, and very clear answer to so much questions in the world today. Sorry, my family couldn't be with us today. The kids are quite unwell. Their eyes are flowing with tears, their nose is running with bubbles, and there's coughing and spluttering going on all over. Levi's 4, Eliza's 6 months, and I've got my wife, Abigail. I think you've seen her before, she was here. They were really looking forward to coming up, but we made a decision that it was just a little bit too much. So they send their love to you guys as well. It is great to be in the valleys today. You know, I spent so much time in the valleys. I stayed in Albert Tulare for a while in the rehab, and I do miss it. We're down in Caldecott, you know, and it's very posh sometimes, and they've got a Waitrose, and, you know, I'm not used to that kind of stuff. You know, although we don't live in the posh part of it, but God is doing something in our area, and I've been there probably about 6 years now, and you know, it's hard work doing church. It can be hard work sometimes, but God is good, and we keep believing, we keep trusting, and we keep knowing that God has promised to build his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. We've been doing a series, and I just want to share that briefly with you today. I don't want anyone to be having burnt offerings for their dinner. So I'm not going to waffle on. I don't like to waffle on. A lot of pastors seem to find it hard to land the plane. You know, they waffle on. And so I'm going to get to the point. I'm going to give you some principles to take away with you, to put in place the subject I want to speak on today. So we've been looking in our own congregation at the barriers in our lives, the barriers that hinder us from moving forward in our lives and growing and maturing. Now, growth and maturity doesn't come by age. You have to forgive me as well, not just from a Scottish accent, but also I've got a sore throat, and every now and then my voice cuts out. Probably doesn't help when my shirt's too tight. My wife's feeding me too well. So if it cuts out, you know, it's just a sore throat. And we established that these barriers in our lives Okay, if I move this out the way, I feel something in the head, but it now and then. That's it. That we establish that these barriers in our lives can't always be dealt with in a prayer line. They can't always be dealt with going to a conference. Some of these barriers are barriers that need to be pulled down daily in our lives. We've already looked at the barrier of fear and how it confines us and debilitates us. We've also looked at the barrier of comfort, quite a barrier that it doesn't seem to be in your face, but in the background it's controlling your thoughts. And this desire for the comfort, not of God, because the comfort of God takes us to a place whereby we're trusting in Him. Comfort doesn't come through trying to avoid suffering, trying to avoid challenges in our lives. That kind of comfort comes from the flesh. This desire to hide away and shy away from the challenges in our life that cause us to grow and mature as Christians. Now, growth and maturity, as I've said, doesn't come by age. It comes by facing responsibilities in our lives. And each one of us have got responsibilities in our lives to be leaders of our own lives. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be witnesses to Him. That's not just down to the pastor or the leadership team. That's down to each one of us as we find what God wants to do, whatever He wants in our lives. You know, if we really believe that His strength is made perfect in weakness, then we have to believe that He wants to use the very weakest of us. Amen? He can't speak back to me, you know. In fact, the more you speak back, the probably the quicker I'll be. No, it doesn't always work like that. So the barrier I want to look at today is probably the source of all the other barriers, and it's this thing called condemnation. And when I speak to you this morning, this is something that I have battled with so much in my own life. I've battled with depression, I've battled with fear, I've battled with low self-esteem, I've battled with condemnation. Each one of these barriers I have battled with myself. And although Craig stands up here and calls me a man of God, which is wonderful, thank you, I don't always feel it, okay? And I'm sure you don't always feel it either, because we are in this place whereby something great has happened in our lives, yet there's something remains. It's called sin. We are delivered from the not the effects of sin, but the power of sin. The power of sin is that when someone's not saved, they don't know that they're sinning. So we have been delivered from that power. We have knowledge that sin is in our lives, and we can have this power through grace to say no, to say yes. Now this condemnation, this barrier, if you turn with me this morning, so open your Bible, or turn on your iPad, or your iWatch, whatever it is you've got, your eye necklace, your eye earring, I don't know what's going to come next, eyeglasses. And we're going to look at a phenomenal passage of scripture. Can I just say this morning, guys, never lose your passion for Jesus. Never lose your joy in singing these wonderful hymns. And you know, it's great as a congregation to lay aside our differences and just come together. And just, you know, the whole purpose of Sunday morning really is to worship Him. Yes. It's to glorify Him. It's to sing, crown Him with many crowns. You know, He's done so much for us. And we're going to look at this briefly this morning. And I may look really passionate when I'm preaching, but I'm not always like this. If you was to ask my wife, she would probably say, you know, something different. My little boy, Levi, who's 4, has created profiles for us on Netflix. Does anyone watch Netflix? Yeah. So you get your profile, yes? He's done a profile for me, my wife, him, and Eliza, who's 6 months. So each profile has a picture. Everyone else has beautiful pictures. And you know what he gave me? A cave troll. He's got this really angry face, and I'm like, is this what he thinks of me? That I'm just this angry ogre that runs about, Levi, stop doing this. And I'll be sitting there going, well, Andrew, you maybe are a bit angry all the time, you know, So I have my bits as well. I'm preaching to myself. So when I speak about having more joy and worship in our lives, I'm speaking to myself, you know. Okay, so it's not just you guys. I believe in preaching truth. I believe in the truth. And I know Craig is insatiable when it comes to the truth. So what you see today is the truth, a person, you know. I don't claim to be anything other than what Christ has done in my life. Here we go. We're going to get to this. That's the introduction. That was free. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be an offering. It says there is one mediator, one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The man. He was a man, and he came to do what we couldn't do. And that's what we were singing about, crowned with many crowns. In order that righteousness requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. This is a battle we find in our Christian life, is this desire from the heart and from our minds that is not in unison. We find ourselves desiring the things of this world, and we've constantly to draw ourselves back to the life of the Spirit. This is a constant battle that's in our life, and this will be a constant battle until the day we die and we're glorified and we get to that place in heaven where we see our Saviour face to face, and all the toils of this life, all the challenges, the incidents and the accidents will all be worthless. Will all be nothing when we see him there in his throne, and we get to rejoice and glorify him and thank him with our perfect bodies and our six packs and our... It's going to be a wonderful time. And never ever take your eyes off of that. You know, in the church years ago, I was brought up in the church. Everything was about Jesus coming again. End of the days, and we're going to be away soon. And we don't want to lose that, because there's so much in the church today. It's all about the here and now, and getting programs right and things right, and get people in seats, and, you know, no discipleship and growing people. Because the thing is, if we grow people, the church will organically grow. But when we try to grow church and people are not quite strong and mature for that place that the church is at, that's when things become tiresome and weary, and we start programs, we don't finish them. So it's important that, like Jesus, we grow the one. The one. We concentrate on the one. If the one's struggling, we get round about them and we strengthen them and lift them up. And that's got absolutely nothing with what I want to speak about today. Sorry, I just get so much in this head, trying to filter it out. I remember one time when my wife came up to hear me preaching. We wasn't married yet, and she says, "Andrew, you know, you don't need to go from Genesis to Revelation every sermon. You take little snippets and just condense it a bit." And so anyway, yeah. So verse 6, "The mind is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. But you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation that it is not to the flesh to live according to it. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen? The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. Okay? So that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we are the children, then we are heirs. Wow.
Amen.
Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful passage this morning. Lord, we thank you that the life, the Spirit gives life. And this is not just words we're reading this morning. This is life. This is Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that as we come to your word, that you would anoint me to preach your word. And you would also give anointing to the hearers this morning. You know what they're going through. You know the trials, the challenges, the things that they face in life. And Lord, I pray that you would equip them today, that they would know your empowerment, your boldness, and your glory in their lives, that the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living within them today. May we all receive something that would help us in our journey, that we may live, Lord, not just for Sunday, but for Monday to Saturday. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what is this condemnation? Condemnation is this voice that's within us. This voice that is in our inner being. You know, our life is full of voices. We have a voice of ourselves. We have the voice of the Spirit who is trying to encourage us and get us to see and to live by faith. It says unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We often quote that and we forget the last part. According to the power that worketh in us. It's when we live our lives and we open up our lives through faith in Christ and dependence on his power to walk the path of faith. That is when we allow ourselves to see that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. A lot of people in their lives are not seeing that because they're not allowing God to do that in their lives. I think when Jesus came to Nazareth or Capernaum, it says that little he could do in that area. Because they just saw them as a carpenter's son. He's just a carpenter's son. You know, our perception of our God is so important. And we're going to see that in a minute. But this condemnation is actually comes from our courtrooms, and it speaks of when someone is guilty of something, that they are condemned, they are classed guilty. And it's this voice in our heads that keeps reminding us of our flaws, of our weaknesses, of the times that we failed, the times that we should have done better. And this voice, condemnation, comes to us, and it is there to steal the present joy and faith that we have in Christ. Has anyone ever heard that voice that says you're not good enough, you're not? And I am not just talking about identity here today. I am speaking about something that will steal the very joy from your heart. And it will steal what you have inherited as a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, of God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ. It will steal the very knowledge of that. That's what it says in Corinthians, that the enemy comes to steal your knowledge of him. You know, one of the things that they kept from the slaves in the 1900s in Virginia and a lot of the southern states is they didn't allow the slaves to read. Because knowledge is power. And that's what the enemy wants to steal. He wants to steal your knowledge of who you are in Christ. And condemnation has got a great way of using fear, comfort. I don't need to do that. I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to stay in this position where I am. I feel fine. I feel good. But all the time, we're being sucked dry from the life of the Spirit. David sees this in Psalm 42, a wonderful psalm, where David is fighting with the inner self, and it's actually the song we sang today, and Craig didn't know what I was preaching on today. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul longs after you. But into verse 3, you hear the voice of condemnation, and it says, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? You see, that's what condemnation says to you. It says, where's your God? Where is he? Sometimes in our life we can't see God, we can't feel God, we can't hear God. Moses was in the desert for 40 years, and according to Scripture, we don't even know if he heard God. I'm sure God was communing with him and encouraging him deep in his soul and in his spirit, because that's where the power is. It's not in the flesh. Too much of the world today is all about how we look at the outward appearance, but it's all about the soul and the spirit. And when we feed it with this is not just, something that appeases our condemnation or whatever. This is actually something that causes us to grow. And David says here that, where is your God? These things I remember, verse 4, as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And then it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? There are so many psalms. Craig read one yesterday, Psalm 13, where David is really in the bowels of depression. He is really, really cast down. He can't see God, he can't feel God, he can't hear God. But yet, there is something, there is a conviction within him. And he says in the end of verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I will yet thank him. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I remember you. And then he goes on to say at the end of that, you actually hear from verse 7, from verse 8 on, you hear he's fighting it. He's fighting the condemnation. The condemnation's telling him, David, you failed. David, you're finished. David, you haven't lived up to what I imagined that you would be. When I anointed you when you were out in the field with the sheep, it says, I saw a man that I thought would never stray from me. That's what the voice of condemnation was telling him. But God's now telling him, David, I saw your flaws. I saw the days that you would make wrong decisions, wrong choices. And I am not saying today that I am condoning his choices and decisions he made, but I am saying this morning, that we have to identify between the difference between our position and our experience. Because when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are positionally in heavenly places. We are positionally heirs of Jesus Christ. And if we're a struggling son, then a struggling person, then we are a struggling son. We are a struggling daughter. Our experience doesn't change who we are positionally. And I want you guys to have comfort, the right comfort this morning, knowing that whatever you're facing in your life, whatever dark the day gets, I want to tell you this morning that you are eternally secure if you have faith, an act of faith in Jesus Christ. Because it says in Hebrews that him that sanctifies and them that are being sanctified are one. 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 There is no difference apart from the fact he's God, of course. We are not gods, demigods. No, we're not. We are so tossed to and fro, but we're so up and down, and he knows the frailty of our frame. That's why it says the man Christ Jesus, he knows. He is a man God. Man that he fell asleep in a boat. God that he stood up and calmed the wind and the waves. Man that he stood at Lazarus' grave and wept, but God that he raised him from the dead. He was two in one because he was in a mission to satisfy the just demands of God. Are you with me this morning? I've got enough notes to do about 10 weeks, so. See, to understand this condemnation, we have to go back to Genesis, where it all started, where sin and separation was announced. When Adam failed in the garden, you know that if Eve had taken the fruit and Adam hadn't, everything would have been fine. And if Adam had lived a righteous life, then that would have been okay. But God knew that man couldn't live in absolute total obedience. So he put something in place. And it says in Romans 5 and 18, therefore, as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all people, so the act of one righteous leads to justification and life for all people. That's why it says in Ephesians 2, you who were dead in your trespasses and sin, not dead physically. Physical death is not the worst death. In fact, to the Christian, there's no death, there's sleep. There's waking up in the presence of our dear Saviour. And I have seen people in their deathbeds who have had more a grasp of this than they ever had in their life. See, sometimes we don't get the grace that we need until we go through what we're called to go through. Sometimes God doesn't give you grace and power and strength just to sit doing nothing and just. God gives us the grace and the strength when we need it the most. And I've seen it in my own life. I've only been in the ministry for 6 years. I never went through any training or anything. Just a drug addict came down to Cumbrae and got cleaned up, and like Craig, and you know, he's a bit more knowledge than I have, right? You know, I was just a lowly troller man from the North Sea. But Jesus has a habit of picking fishermen, isn't he? So here we are. Glory to God. Hasn't always been glory, I must admit that. There's a lot of times where I think, I'm going to give up. I'm going to pack it in. Life would be so easier without it, but you know something? There's a growth. There's something inside that just keeps. And I really believe that God is going to move in the valleys once again. Amen?
Amen.
Keep believing it. You know, the Hebridean revival started with three old ladies praying. That's all that God needs. He doesn't need anything else. God decides to move. And I'll tell you something, it shakes communities. Because the people that didn't like it were the church people. Would you believe that? The nightclubs were emptied. Midnight, one night in the Hebridean revival, the nightclubs were empty at 12 o'clock. People streaming out to the dance halls. It wasn't nightclubs then, it was dance halls. Streaming out to the dance halls, not rapping on the church doors, asking, crying out for God. That's what God can do. He can do it here. If he can do it in the Hebrides, he'll do it anywhere. Because they are a religious bunch. And I can see it because I know them well. Condemnation means to be pronounced guilty. And condemnation can come from two sources, really. Two main sources. Condemnation doesn't come from God. There are things that doesn't come from God. Fear doesn't come from God. Condemnation doesn't come from God. Death doesn't come from God. It came from sin. But God, pain doesn't come from God. But God can use these things in our lives. Because let me say this today. And it's not something you would have in your fridge magnet. But God is more interested in your character than he is in your circumstances. And I'm not saying today that God is not interested in your circumstances. Of course he is. His eye is on the sparrow. He clothes the lily. You know, consider the lilies, how they toil nor spin. Yet Solomon in all his raiment wasn't arrayed like one of these. So God is interested in our circumstances. But there is one thing that God is more interested in everything, and it's our character, our growth, our Christ-likeness. You know how they give you flu jabs to get rid of flu? So the very thing they're trying to avoid, they give you. Sometimes, in order, and Craig marvellously touched on this yesterday, sometimes things are allowed in our lives, God filtered, in order for us to grow. So in order for us to get better with pain, sometimes we go through pain. In order for us to grow stronger in faith, our faith is tested. In order for us to grow in character, our character is tested. Now my character is really tested on the motorway, because I'm also a salesman. I cover the UK for a technology company, and because church is not enough for me. I'm not busy enough in church, so I do a lot of driving. I do about 30,000 a year. And my character is really seen when I'm driving on the motorway. And someone cuts me up, or someone, you know, gives me the fingers because I'm in the wrong lane. Maybe I've gotten a big tire. I'm like, so that's where my character, sometimes my character is tested when Levi wants something and he will not take no for an answer. So sometimes God allows these things, but there is purpose to it all. And sometimes you need to find that for yourself. Sometimes it's not enough just hearing it from a minister or pastor. Sometimes it's when you've allowed patience have her perfect work that you realise it. But this condemnation can come from two things. It's not from God. So if you are feeling you're quite down about things and where you are and who you are, that's not from God. Very often it's from ourselves. 1 John 3:20 says, "For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything." And that wonderful, you see, I love these little snippets. "And he knows everything." So when he saved you, cleansed you, picked you up and sat you on your road again, he already knew and saw what you were going to go through. To me, that is one of the greatest comforts in my life, is knowing that God knew me 100% and still chose me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Oh, I'll tell you something, that gets rid of condemnation. I'm not caring how old you are, how long you've been on the Christian path. That when you realise that God knew you intricately, passionately, because we are his workmanship, and still he chose you for his wonderful cause of the kingdom, that is such a, it takes so much pressure off of me. Because I put pressure on myself. I'm one of those, I'm always putting pressure on myself to do this and do that and be the best at this and be, you know. So it takes great pressure, but it also comes from the enemy. 1 Timothy 3:6, speaking about eldership really, but the devil doesn't see any demarcation between eldership or just a son or daughter of God. It says that he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Although the enemy does attack those who are higher up, because he knows that if he gets the head, then it flows down. So I take back that, what I just said. That was probably a lot of rubbish. But sometimes preachers speak a lot of rubbish, just in the flow of things. And so I just admit it openly. So what I'm trying to say is that the devil is after each one of us. Okay? And he's not really interested in taking your car, your house, even your health. He's not interested. He can't really touch all that God filtered anyway. What he's interested in is just taking you out of the race. Okay? He just wants to take you to the side. He's not bothered where you come into church. He's not really interested whether you attend church. It's good that you do, to bring your giftings and your finances and everything to the local church, that we may win it for Christ. But he would have you sitting in church every Sunday, as long as you're not reading and praying and spending time with the Lord through the week, and not getting involved, and not allowing Him to challenge you, your comfort in your life. That's what He wants. He wants you just to become lethargic and full of apathy, and just, you know, come in and see the wrong with everything and the wrong with everyone. And that's what He wants you, because He knows if you get you there, He can just forget about you. And this is why He uses condemnation. And you see, this condemnation is a spirit of religion. Condemnation focuses on performance, not position. When you start to get performance based, you're in deep water. Okay, when you start to become, oh, I did well today, I'm not so good yesterday, you know, avoided that, I didn't do that, yes, I'm going to pray this morning, I'm going to, yeah, I really feel like getting a word for today. Oh no, I did that yesterday and I'm really low to bar. Once you get on that roller coaster of emotionalism, you're in the devil's hands, as in He's got you where He wants you. Each morning, you waking up, you have to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Whether it's reading the same scripture every day, same verse, don't care. Listen, we've got to get into a habit of reading and praying. It's so, even when you're not getting anything for days, you know, I've seen me reading and not getting anything for weeks. Getting away for reading and then just thinking, oh, it was just... But His word never returns void. So when you're reading, you're not getting anything. Later in life, it will. It will come. It's like today. Maybe you're not suffering from this condemnation. But I will tell you something. You will. And I'm going to give you 2 how-tos before you go today, and you'll be glad of them. Because I'll tell you something, I've been glad of them. If we can get to a place where... Not that you're free from condemnation. I'm not here today like Levi's uncle. He comes to the... We go up to Scotland at Christmas time to see my family. They're all still up in Aberdeen. And when we go up there, his uncle, my brother-in-law, just feeds Levi everything. Chocolate. I've even seen him trying to give him Pepsi Max, and I'm like, whoa! So I know visiting preachers are like that sometimes. They come in like your uncle and just give a congregation all willy-nilly kind of stuff, and then the pastor's left with trying to keep that up and, you know, get everyone into a frenzy. So I'm not here to do that today. And I'm not here to try and say that you will come to a place where there's no condemnation in your life. You will fight it. You will learn how to fight it. You will learn to distinguish it. No, that's a voice. Because every voice that we hear has to be tried against this. Against Scripture. Is that what Scripture says? Is that right? Because this is our plumb line. Not the preacher. Not the pastor. This. Your relationship with Him through the revelation in the Word of God. And that's why Jesus says they do err not knowing the Scriptures. When we know the Scriptures, when we get into this, I'm telling you, things will change in your life. Look at the church at Galatia. I'm not going to go in for too long, but this condemnation is a spirit of religion. Jesus calls us to live lives that are right. Lives that are governed by the Scriptures, governed by the Spirit. Lives that are holy and righteous. We are holy. Because of Christ, we are holy. We are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. So why does He call us to live lives that are right, that are governed in a correct way? It's nothing to do with our position. Our position is settled. We are called to live lives that are holy and right and good because we are called to be witnesses. Jesus said to let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. We are not called to live good, righteous lives because we need to attain to what God is requiring. we are there anyway. Positionally, we are there. We are called to live right lives because we live in a world that is dark and perverse, and they need to see us through influence. And the problem is, we give them too much sometimes. The church needs to be more subtle with its evangelism, I believe. Because what does too much salt do? Spoils your dinner. What does too much light do? Blind you. Sometimes, you know something, I even wondered if I ever had a church of my own, because we're in Victory Church, I wouldn't call it church. I would just call it something that didn't have church in it. The life place or something, life something. Because we don't need really to be shouting about church all the time. We need to be coming and connecting with people, being what we've been called to be, being approachable, connectable, adaptable. I said I wasn't going to waffle on, we're all right yet, a few minutes. We see this Church of Galatians chapter 3, 1 and 6. Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who have cast an evil spell on you." I mean, that's quite strong language. It says in King James that who hath bewitched you? Who's came along and brought you into this place where you're trying to achieve through rules and regulations rather than principles and admonishment? Paul says to the more foolish Galatians, "Who's cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made clear to you as if you had seen it, a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, you are now trying to become perfect by your own human effort. Anyone been there?" Now remember, I'm not saying that we don't live lives that are good. We do, in order to reach others. But our position is settled. "Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believed the message you heard about Christ." Listen to this. "In the same way, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness because of his faith." The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. Abraham received righteousness. He became righteous through his faith in Jesus Christ. So stop living this life under condemnation. Conviction is different. We're going to look at that in a minute. Stop trying to live your life under this sphere of religion, because it will get you nowhere. You'll be here in another year's time. You won't have matured or grown in your faith. You'll still be stagnant, lifeless. And I'm speaking from experience, and I know you guys have been there. We've all been there. So this condemnation is a spirit of religion. It's a relationship. We've been brought into this where we cry, "Abba, Father." It's also a flawed perception how we see God. We're constantly thinking God's angry at us. We're constantly thinking God is up there. Just, "Oh, look how you failed. You know, I chose you and I've shown you great and mighty things, but look what you've done with it. Look at you, look at the state of you. You know, Elijah under a juniper tree. What did God do? He came out and sent an angel because he was tired, he was wearied. This condemnation was heavy upon him. And actually, if you read Titus 3 when you go home or this week, God actually thinks that you're precious. He actually thinks that you're perfect. You know, in the Songs of Solomon, it says, God speaking about his bride, it says, "I find no fault in them." Spotless, spotless. We are. When it comes to sin, when it comes to separation, when it comes to God looking at our lives, we are hid in Christ. He sees Christ. Therefore, he sees us as he sees Christ. A I've said in Hebrews 2 that though him who is sanctified, him who is the sanctifier, Christ, and those who are being sanctified, us, are one. That's a big place to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to belong now. But it's also a flawed perception of yourself. You need to be careful of your perception. Now my mom, bless her, was one of the most godliest women you would ever see. They used to call her sisters Salt and Light. She had two sisters, used to call them Salt and Light. But she had such a negative perception. If a phone rang, it was the police. You know, everything was just, oh, I don't know what's going to happen today. Worry about this, worry about that. And we all have worry, we all have doubts, we all have anxieties in our hearts. But we need to challenge the perception in our mind. How we see things, how we see God, how we see ourselves, how we see others. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a person thinks in their heart, so will they be. Your thought process. The only way the devil can get you is through suggestion. And he comes to you and he knows you maybe got a negative perception, bad outlook, and they're not saying that we're American, where we're just waking up, yeah man, it's going to be great today, everything's going to work out. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. Paul said, let your moderation be known unto men. Balance. Moderation's balance. Let the balance of your life, even when it's not a good day, even when it is maybe going south, that we try and keep a hold of what we know through Scripture. I've had good days and I've had bad days. I've had days where things have been going okay and I've been really bad in my thoughts. And I've had days where I've been really challenged to the point that I don't know what's going on, but yet I've had peace and joy. Because our thoughts govern so much of our outlook, of our perception. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, be careful of your thoughts as they shape your life. So this condemnation can come from flawed perception of how we see God, how we see ourselves. But listen, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. The great hymn by Charles Wesley says, no condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. You know something? You'll never be more righteous when you're in heaven standing before a saviour than you are today. I'll let that sink in. You'll never be more righteous when you stand before him than you are today. It's a finished work. It's done. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. Corinthians 2 and 12, 14, one of my favourite books of the Bible. So is Ephesians and Peter and Hebrews and you. Says it was you were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ and forgave all your sins. He cancelled the record of the charges that stood against us by nailing him to his cross. He took everything that the enemy, that the court, that the judge wanted to nail against you and condemn you with. Yes, you did that. Yes, you did this. You took drugs. You broke into people's houses. You did all this. That was a long time ago. But I've nailed it to my cross, and now that you're trusting in me, it says in this way he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. There's a Greek word, epikdynomai, and it speaks about it. The picture it has is when a general conquers another country, they'll capture the army and they'll take the general out from the army and they'll get him to kneel down and he'll strip him of every badge the general has in his jacket. That is what Jesus did. when he on that cross, he came to the devil, he stripped him of every power that that enemy has in our lives. Condemnation he stripped. That shame and that guilt that we live our lives in, trying to match up to God's. You know, you could keep the law 99.9% and you'd still be 100% condemned. You can't do it. We can't do it. I'm going to give you the how-to. Just two quick points, because I've told you enough about condemnation and how about where we are in Christ. There's a great verse in Hebrews 12:1. It says, laying aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. This weight, trying to, you know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, why are you putting this weight on my people? Listen, let's live in freedom. And I'm speaking to myself today. We need to go out of here because they're all watching. They'll all be watching. And instead of going out of here with our heads down thinking, oh my word, I don't know how this week's going to go. I'm not sure if God's even going to be with me. I'm going home to pray God will be with me. No, thank God it is with you. Thank Him. Because He's promised in His word that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can go out there today with our heads held high. With a spring in your step. Eh? I'm not asking you to go out skipping. I mean in your heart. And you know, people that think that you're a bunch of whack jobs. Let your moderation be known. Show them balance of life. Show them that even through this, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How was he able to do that? Because it says prior to that, that when I've had much, I've trusted him. When I've had little, I've trusted him. I've therefore learned. See, that's what comfort does. Comfort will take away the opportunity to learn. Learn. Yeah. Allow Him to bring you through things so you can learn that He is over all, that He's above all. So here's the how-to. Stop making the same decisions that don't help. What's character? It's a power to make right choices. Stop making that stupid financial decision. Stop making that stupid relational decision. Stop dropping the same plates every night. And I say that because, I'm not speaking about physical plates. One man once said that life is like balancing plates. Just make sure it's not the same plate that smashes every night. You know, sometimes we need to let things go and put more effort into these things, you know. So, quite a practical thing. Stop making those same decisions that allow the enemy to come in and allow him to condemn us and to get us off of the path and allow him to build up these barriers in our lives. And the last thing is very simple. Just keep looking to Jesus. It'll be no use if you're just looking to Jesus, because, and I better be careful how I say this, because if you are constantly making wrong decisions and decisions that are grieving the Spirit, it's going to taint how you look at Jesus. The two must go hand in hand. As we grow and mature and we learn to make those right decisions in our life that benefit our families, our churches, our workplaces. You know, we can't just say, oh, we're going to church and then you're swearing in the workplace and going about kicking stuff and breaking stuff. That's not going to work. So it doesn't matter how much you read and pray and look to Jesus, if you're doing these things, you see what I'm saying this morning? It's twofold. Stop making the same decisions that allow the enemy to come in, that allow us to be condemned. And keep looking to Jesus, because He is the author and finisher of the faith. I've learned in my life that there's a big difference between condemnation and conviction. And we need to make sure that we're living our lives not by condemnation, because condemnation gives no hope, no help. It debilitates progress. But conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit always gives hope, always leads us on to a better place where we become better people. Not because that's all that God wants, but God loves us so much that He wants us to be, and if we are becoming more Christ-like, if we are changed from glory into glory, from faith into faith, then we will become better people of faith. And usually that path will take us through things where, you know, we can't see God, hear God, as I've said, but you know in your heart that God is there. You know in your heart that He wants to take you to a higher place in your life. Don't settle. I don't care how old you are today, and you're maybe thinking, oh, it's all right for you, you know, you're quite young. Well, I wouldn't, you know, you're only as young as the woman you're with, they say. She's 10 years younger than me, so I'm all right. But allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring peace to our lives. This power to change. You know, it says He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. The power there is a power to govern our thoughts. When the enemy comes, you know, there's a song that we used to sing, I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done, of wrongs that I have done. I know them all and thousands more, but Jehovah finds none. A wonderful line from a hymn, you know. They don't do it like they used to. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them all. In fact, I know thousands more. They used to say that, don't worry about what people say about you. It's never as bad as the truth. But Jehovah finds none. He doesn't find any fault in you this morning. He doesn't find any fault with your questions, with your doubts, with your worry, your anxiety. He's not mad at you for that today. He just wants you to realise who you are in and through Christ, and use the grace. The only difference between grace and the law is grace gives the power to live what the law requires. The grace of Jesus, he gives us the power and the ability to fight the sin and lay aside the weight that so easily besets us. Let's stand this morning. I just want to pray over you, and then I'll get Craig to come back up. Father God, we just want to thank you this morning that we can live in the freedom where Christ has set us free. Lord, that we do not need to be confined and shackled by trying to be good, trying to be righteous, Lord. We want to realise this morning that because of what you did on the cross, that you have made us righteous and holy, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And Lord, we say this today that not so we can get all egotistical, but that, Lord, that we would live lives that are free from that shackles, free from the chains, free from trying to people please and be codependent on what others say, but that we would just glean from you, that we would just live in that place where we're looking to you, Lord, and allowing you to invest within us. And Lord, that through our belief and our conviction in you, Lord, that we would make the right decisions, choices, that not only better us, our families, our friends, our environments, but also your kingdom that you're trying to build. Lord, I thank you for each person gathered here today. And Lord, as their faces differ, so does their needs. Pray for every family represented here today. Lord, I thank you for them, and I pray that they would know that blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. Pray for Pastor Andrew and Linda and family today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be all that they would need. I thank you, Lord, that you will fill their lives with faith and peace and joy. Pray for Craig and Lynn, Lord, as they minister. Lord, I pray that you would enable them and strengthen them by your divine grace and power, the very power that raised Christ from the dead. In each person, Lord, they would have that measure of hope and joy today. That regardless of the situation that they're walking home to today, a husband that doesn't believe, children, Lord, that are seem unruly, a workplace that is difficult, an illness, Lord, that would seem to tear the very foundations of the house. Lord, I pray today, even a mental illness, Lord, that we would have that hope and peace and believing through the Holy Spirit. And we would know that our end is not here, our finish is not here. But we wait for a city whose maker and builder is God. So we give you all the praise and glory today. Pray for this community of Stradmannoch. I just pray that you would open up the windows of heaven and use this church mightily, because their hearts are for you, Lord. We ask all these things in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.